Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited that you would spend Easter morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, I'm pretty pumped up to preach today. How amazing, man, the weather's starting to change. How about, have you noticed that it's like, man, the trees are budding, the flowers are starting to bloom. Pretty soon, white people are going to start changing colors. It's going to be amazing. And so, listen, if you're a first-time guest with us here this morning, here's what, maybe something you don't maybe know about me, and I would like to just kind of reveal it to you on this this Easter morning, and that's this, is I'm a bit of a movie star. Yes, it's true. Maybe you've seen the Academy Award-winning film, the 1992 film, Walt Disney's The Mighty Ducks. Yes, that's where I got my breakthrough, my big breakout scene to become the actor that you see before you now. And so let me just show you a clip of my breakout scene and let me know what you think. Hey, how did I do? How did I do in my scene, man? I nailed it, right? I knew it. And for the record, don't always believe Hollywood, because Hollywood was trying to tell you that the Minnesota North Stars beat up on my team, the Hartford Whalers, and it's just not true. Because we won that game in overtime, and your pastor scored the game-winning goal in overtime, okay? But listen, it's not about me. It's Easter Sunday, and it's about Jesus. Listen, all of this stuff is really ridiculous. But you know what? I really was in the clip, and you have to look so hard to try and see where I am. There I am, you know, and that type of thing. And so it was ridiculous. But the reality is, I can see myself there. And that's the question that I want us to answer this morning. Can you see yourself there? Can you see yourself there? And we'll come back to that at the end of our time here this morning. We're going to be this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll read verses 1 through 8. I can't even remember how many Easter Sunday messages I've done. In almost every one of them, I'm going to come out of this text, because Paul's going to say this. This is the most important thing. And so let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Paul says this, "Now I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." And so, Lord, I pray you give us grace this morning, Lord, to see your glorious gospel in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so we see in our text here that Paul begins, he says, hey, I want to remind you of the gospel. And the gospel, it simply means good news. And it's the good news that Christ died for our sins. And he rose again on the third day to declare that your sin and my sin has been paid for by him. And so it's the greatest news on the planet. But Paul's having to remind the Corinthian church, bring him back to the most important thing. and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you know anything about the Corinthian church, here's what you should know. They are an absolute gong show, a train wreck of a church. You have people are getting drunk during the communion services. Get this, you have one son is sleeping with his dad's wife, his stepmother, they think. Like this is Jerry Springer type stuff. And so this church was a train wreck. And perhaps you're new to church. Like you've always avoided it because you're like, church people are weird, bunch of hypocrites, you know. And listen, when you look at the Corinthian church, guess what? I'm going to agree with you. And the reality is that all followers of Christ, we're all a little bit hypocritical. And here's the reason why. Because the standard we're aspiring to is perfection. The perfection of Jesus Christ. And get this, we always seem to fall a little bit short. But listen, here's what I do know is I ascribe to the great prophet Homer Simpson. You remember that show, The Simpsons? And there's one episode where Homer Simpson is actually reading the Bible. And then as he's reading, he suddenly stops. He's puzzled. And he closes the Bible. And he says this. He says, you know what? He says, everyone is a mess in here except for this one guy. And that one guy is Jesus Christ. And he is our standard. But get this. Just because at times God's people are a mess, it doesn't negate the validity of the message. Just because God's people are a mess, it doesn't negate the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like, get this, we all know the great physicist and scientist, Nobel Prize winner, Albert Einstein. But did you know this? That Albert Einstein was not a very good man. He was an adulterer, a womanizer. Do you know that he made his first wife sign a contract? You will not speak to me. You will wash my clothes. You will give me 3 square meals and you'll leave me alone. Sounds like, I love you too, sweetheart, right? And get this, one of his sons struggled with mental illness and he spent the better part of a year in a psychiatric ward. And do you know that Einstein never even visited his son? So can we agree? Not exactly a great guy. But here's what's true, though. It doesn't negate the fact that E equals MC squared. It just doesn't, all right? The messenger might be a mess, but if the message is true, man, then that changes everything. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's true, it changes everything. Like if the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, get this, man, Jesus is God. The Bible is true and we can build our life on it, that your sins can be paid for. But if the gospel is not true, man, then Jesus is a liar. The Bible, it's just a big fairy tale. And get this, you're still stuck and dead in your sins. I'll quote the Apostle Paul. He would say this, if the gospel is not true, then we are to be pitied above all people. But if it's true, it absolutely changes everything. All right. And so this morning, I want to make an appeal to you. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Because I don't know if you've ever read your Bible, but it's funny. There's moments when I read it and I see the proclivity of the human heart to harden and to disbelieve the truth that's in plain sight of them. And so don't be that guy. For example, Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh? He's like, who's God that I should listen to him? And then what does God do? He unleashes 10 plagues on Egypt. And just to shoot you straight, man, if someone changes the Nile like into blood, guess what? You win. You're God. Your people can go. In fact, I'm going to go with you, right? So listen, but Pharaoh did what? He hardened his heart. Don't be that guy this morning. Don't be that guy. How about, man, but sometimes God's people are even worse. Like we get like God's people, the Jews, as they're making their exodus, like they got to see the 10 plagues and then they got to see the Red Sea split and they walked through dry ground through the Red Sea. And get this, if that's not enough, they drank water from a rock and they ate bread that fell from the heavens. And after all that, Moses spends a little bit too much time up on Mount Sinai. What do? They build a stupid golden calf to worship. Are you kidding me? And it gets even worse, because then they approach the promised land. And do you remember, after all these miracles that God did, they send in 12 spies, and 10 of them came back with a wicked report of unbelief. Do you remember what the problem was? Hey, these guys are all really tall. They're about 6'5". They're giants, you know, and God's got to be going, yeah, I just destroyed an entire nation, split the Red Sea for you. I think I can handle the 6'5" guys, right? And so, and if I haven't made my point clear enough that you're not to be that guy, is let me put the cherry on top. Like, this one's one of my favorite scenes in the New Testament, that this mob, along with Judas, comes to arrest Jesus. And then they ask this question, who is Jesus? And Jesus thunders, I am. And the scripture says they all fall to the ground. Is that crazy? But it gets better, because then Peter gets full of himself. He draws a sword. He cuts off one of the Roman guards' ears. And Jesus says, stop, put your sword away. And he grabs the guy's ear and sticks it back on his head. Now, wouldn't you think that it'd be like, okay, game over. Maybe this Jesus guy is legit. But they continue and just arrest him. And so it's ridiculous. And don't be that guy this morning, because Paul is going to unpack for us, man, just the truth of the gospel. And if it's true, it just changes everything. And so Paul starts unpacking the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. And he starts out by saying this, that Christ, he died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Like, Jesus died for our sins. So I've shared this story often, but so I have to go speak at various men's events and whatever, like leadership events. And so they'll always ask me, hey, could you put together a highlight reel, maybe from your NHL career and that? I'm like, no, because I don't know how to do that stuff. But I made an attempt to do it. And I remember I went to the Philadelphia Flyers, their website, and there was a little icon that I could hit, and it says Adam Burt's highlights. I'm like, this is going to be amazing, man. Get to see my highlights from playing in the NHL. And I click on the highlight thing, and what do we see? The highlight is this, Ty Domi and another guy absolutely kicking the mess out of me. I think we have an image of it here. I'm not proud of this. See the guy that's like in a ball, like sucking his thumb, trying to protect himself. Yeah, that's your pastor. And I'm like, that's my highlight. Are you kidding me? But here is the reality for all of us, that's your highlight and my highlight before a holy and a perfect God. Listen, you're a sinner. Happy Easter. And so am I. And we're in need of a savior. And so if you don't believe me, like, God gives us the Ten Commandments. Often people think like the Ten Commandments are a ladder to climb up to God, and it's just not. It's actually a diagnostic. It's to show us what's going on the inside in our heart, that our hearts are sick with sin. And so let's just run through the diagnostic. Anyone ever told a lie before? And if you said no, that's at least your second lie, okay? How about this? Anyone ever taken something that didn't belong to them? Well, I wasn't stealing. It just didn't belong to me, and I took it. Yeah, no, dude, you stole, all right? How about this? Have you ever loved something more than Almighty God? Oh, yeah? Well, there's a name for that, and it's called idolatry, and it reveals something about your heart. Men, ever look at a woman lustfully before? No? Me neither, then. Let's move on, okay? Women. Have you ever seen another woman with something, man, that thing that you wanted, and now she has it and resented her for that? There's a word for that too. It's called coveting, right? And so ding, 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 ding. And I could just take you through all the Ten Commands, and we all fall short because we're sinners in need of a savior. And now I can see some of you right through the camera right now, that some of you are still like, you got your inner lawyer. You can't handle the truth. Like, you're screaming out, no, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. And here's what you mean by that. You mean I'm mostly a good person, right? And so a little story. My wife and I, we kind of do date night, and we got this amazing sushi restaurant we like to go to. And so we went down, and we're having this romantic kind of evening, and our waitress came over, and she asked, oh, sir, are you taking your daughter out tonight? So then it didn't start off well. Of course, Susan liked that. But then we ordered a bottle of wine, and the waitress was opening the bottle of wine. And when she popped the cork, some of the cork was still in the bottle. And so this woman takes her finger, masses it down in the bottle of wine, trying to dig out this little piece of cork shrapnel, right? And then she has the nerve to pour us a glass of it. And I'm like, well, I'm hoping her finger was mostly clean. And so, but listen, God is not coming back for a mostly clean people. He's coming back for a perfect people. It's the biblical word, holy. He's coming back for a holy people. And so we're in need of a Savior, because the scriptures would say this, that the wages of our sin is death. And so listen, I know, like, remember, the gospel is good news. And so we got to get the bad news, because the bad news, the more bad it is, the better the good news. And get this, and here's where our story this morning is going to flip on its head, because what's going to happen is Jesus is going to die in your place and in my place for our sins. So this past week, I heard a really moving story of this great loving king, and he ruled over his kingdom. But there came a moment where someone was stealing from the king's coffers and from his treasures, and this kept going on until finally the king, he put out an edict. He said, when we catch this criminal, they're going to be beaten with 10 lashes. And the thievery continued to go on until he bumped it up to 20 lashes, up to 30 lashes. And finally, he left it at 40 lashes. And it was believed that once you hit 40 lashes, that the individual would die. That's why often in your scriptures, you'll hear they only get 39 lashes, just short of death. And so, suddenly they caught the culprit. And it was actually the king's daughter was stealing from the king's coffers. And so now the kingdom wondered what this king is going to do. And so they went on to apply the 40 lashes. And as they brought the king's daughter, and they attached her to the whipping pole, and they tied her down. And just as the executioner began to peer back with his cat of nine tails, the king shouted out, "Stop!" And the king walked over. And he laid over and covered over his daughter. And now he said, "Now go on with the execution." And with each blow, man, pain shot through this king's body until the 40th blow happened and life left him and he had died. But you know what? His daughter went away free. And that is the beautiful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus at Calvary's cross, he paid for our sins fully and forever, the sins of our past, our present, and get this, even on into the future. He paid for it all. And that's why the gospel is the greatest news. And if the gospel is true, it changes everything. It goes on, and Paul says that he was raised on the third day. Numbers are significant in the scriptures, and the number three is the number of completion or perfection. And that's why the Trinity, the Godhead, is complete. Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one. That's why when you read in your Old Testament, it speaks of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fast forward to your New Testament, Jesus had three disciples that were in his inner circle, Peter, James, in John. It's why there's three stooges and three amigos, because it's the number of completeness. And Jesus died and rose on the third day, because it's the Bible's way of saying that he was completely dead and he completely suffered on your behalf and mine. As I was researching for our Easter message, it was fascinating. Did you know that there were, in Jesus's lifetime, that there were no fewer than 18 quote unquote messiahs that rose to prominence in Jesus's lifetime. And guess what? All 18 faced the same fate, death. But one got up on the third day. And here's my appeal to you. That's the Messiah you want to follow. And his name is Jesus. Paul goes on, and now he explains the gospel, and now he's going to lay out his evidence that the resurrection is true. And so he's going to go on and listen, remember, don't be that guy, because the evidence is compelling. Let me give you exhibit A. He says, he appeared to Peter and to the 12 disciples. And here's why that's significant. So I'm a daddy of daughters, right? And I can remember when my daughters were young and they had to get their shots early on as little girls. And so my wife Susan took them to the doctor's office. For the record, my wife hates needles. And so she takes our daughters in there that they have to get their vaccinations or immunizations. And so they go in and then the doctor gets out the needle. My girls scream and my wife just leaves and takes them out before they get their shots. I'm like, baby, you can't do that. And so daddy takes them. And so as we're driving over to the doctor's office, I get my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, and I'm like, baby girl, you're going to do this. Like I'm giving her the pump up speech. Daddy's so proud of you. You're so courageous. And so she just gets so full of herself. In fact, she starts talking smack to her older sister. They're like, Cassie, you're afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm going to do this. And so we get in to the doctor's office and then we go into the back and then the nurse gets the needle out and does one of those flick it things and squirts a little bit of it out. My youngest daughter, like all that courage and stuff she had, suddenly she saw that needle. She lost her mind and went berserk, started flailing her arms. And I had to like grab her and like tackle her. And I'm like, give it to her, right? And so what happened? All that courage changed the moment she saw the needle. And here's why that's significant, is that Peter and the disciples, they were cowards. Like Peter denied Jesus three times to a little girl. All the disciples, they ran away at Jesus' biggest point of need. And so how did these men go from cowards to courageous? I'll tell you how they did, is they saw him resurrected from the dead and they couldn't unsee it. And now suddenly death was not intimidating to them anymore. And get this, they faced horrific deaths. Let me give you, we have a few that Andrew was crucified. Bartholomew was beaten and then crucified. James, the son of Alphaeus, he was stoned to death. James, the son of Zebedee, he was beheaded. John was boiled in oil. And so we just go on and on and on. And what? Listen, you're not going to die and suffer for a lie. But if Jesus got up from the dead, then you do not have to fear death anymore. That's exhibit A. Let's go to exhibit B. Paul said that he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. And so I need to take you back, get the flux capacitor. We're going to go back to the future. And I'm going to take you back in time 22 years ago. Do you remember? Like it was the year 2000, like we all survived Y2K. And if you don't know what Y2K is, that means you're probably just in your 20s, okay? And so here's another one. Do you guys remember in 2000, the box office hit Gladiator came out? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Come on, Gladiator, you remember that? It's the trinity of guy movies. It's Braveheart, 300, and Gladiator, right? We also were introduced to Tom Hanks's new best friend, Wilson, right? In the movie Castaway. And so the box office, man, they had some great movies at that time. Now, the music scene, not so much. Because I remember my daughters back in 2000, they loved this group called NSYNC. And just when we thought the boy bands had died and gone to heaven, another one arises called NSYNC. And we got this song, Bye Bye Bye, just trapped in our heads. Remember that? But then if you just needed to change the station and maybe get a different one on, don't worry, because one of the other hit singles of that time was Oops, I Did It Again, right? This is before Britney got freed. And so for the record, what horrible lyric writing abilities in 2000. But here's what I say all that is to say this, and I'm not sure how many can resonate, but do you remember NSYNC? Do you remember Britney Spears? Do you remember those box office smashes in 2000? And if you can testify yes, it's because you're there and you experienced it. And get this, the book of Corinthians, our text today, it was written 22 years after the resurrection. And so what Paul is basically saying is this, hey, most of those people that saw the resurrected Christ, they're still alive and they can testify, I saw him, he rose from the dead, and they will testify to the resurrection. And so get this, so close to 500 eyewitnesses. You know, in a court of law, like two or three eyewitnesses, boom, case closed. This thing is over. In fact, there's a guy by the name of Professor Richard Swinburne. He's a professor at Oxford. Okay, we need to pause here. At Oxford, okay, it's not at your community college. It's not a Phoenix University online university. No, this is Oxford, and he's an expert in examining evidence. And here's what Professor Swinburne said: that just given the evidence, he says this, that there's a 97% chance that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's go to Exhibit C. James, the Lord's brother. Like Jesus appeared to James, the Lord's brother. And so here's what I need to ask you this morning, those of you that have siblings. Like, what do you have to do to convince your brother that you're God? Huh? Like, I'll share with you, I have a younger brother. Hey, Noah, I hope you're watching right now, man. My brother Noah, he's awesome. And I've said this about him. Like, he's super charming guy. Like, he's able to talk himself into a mess and talk himself out of a mess. You know what I mean? In fact, I remember my wife and I were watching HGTV one evening, and sure enough, my brother Noah's on the TV show. I'm like, bro, how'd you get on HGTV, right? And so here's another one. He talked his way into a professional hockey team tryout. What's the problem with that? My brother never played competitive hockey. I'm like, how did you do that, man? He was able to convince people to give him a tryout. But get this, I don't think there's anything my brother could tell me to get me to believe that he's God, unless I saw him brutally murdered, buried and put in the ground, and 3 days later get up and begins to talk to me. I might have to reconsider after that. And that's what happened to James. Do you know this, that James so convinced is he that his brother Jesus rose from the dead and that he's God in the flesh, that James would become the leader of the early church. And in fact, get this, later on in James's life, he was making such an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ that the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders, they couldn't take it anymore. And so they brought him up to the Temple Mount. And there they said, you recant that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says, I cannot. And so they pushed him down from the Temple Mount. He fell a huge amount down to the ground. But get this, he didn't die. And so they raced down and they gathered around James, the Lord's brother, and they said, you recant that Jesus is God. And he says, I cannot. And so one of the Pharisees took a club and then they beat James to death until he died. Happy Easter, right? But I tell that story. My point is, man, you don't die for a lie. See, James was willing to give his life. Why? Because he had seen the Lord risen from the dead. Exhibit D, and our last point is this, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul. You remember Paul, the artist formerly known as Saul, the one that was violently killing Christians, imprisoning Christ followers, until something happened on a Damascus road that the resurrected Christ appeared to Saul. And what Saul became Paul, the greatest missionary our faith has ever known. In fact, Paul could be quoted as saying this, for me, he says, to live is Christ. And so for Paul to go from persecuting and killing Christians to wearing an I Heart Jesus shirt, man, something happened. And that something was he experienced the resurrected Christ. And now, Your Honor, the defense rests. Examine the evidence. Examine the evidence. And so, listen, we started our Easter message here by asking this one question. Can you see yourself? Can you see yourself? And if you would just take a moment with me, you know, if we fast forward in the scriptures to the book of Revelation, and it talks about the end of time, and maybe you could just take a moment in your imagination and just kind of feel and sense this with me. At Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, it says this. It says, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And here's my question. On that glorious day, at the end of time, when all the saints gather around the throne of Almighty God, can you see yourself? Can you find yourself there? And listen, if you're struggling to know, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know if I can find myself. Will I be there? Will I not? Listen, here's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you can be assured of your salvation by taking Jesus and his great gospel and receiving him to be your Savior and your Lord, that you would walk in new relationship with Jesus. In fact, the book of Romans promises that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, that we're going to be saved. We're going to be saved. And so I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just repeat after me, or maybe you can just say amen at the end of this. Amen, it just means so be it. And so please just repeat after me. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. And now I turn to you and ask you to come into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. And I thank you for all that you've done in and through your cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, God bless you. Man, if you prayed that prayer, I'm so excited. We've been fasting and praying for you all week. And listen, how cool is it to become a Christ follower on Easter Sunday? And so, listen, the message is over, but we're not quite finished. I would like to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing, in your giving. A tithe simply means a tenth. And we believe that for all Jesus has done for us, that we give a tithe, a tenth, back to him of everything that comes in through our finances, to give it back to God as a form of saying thank you. Thank you. And so there's three ways that you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, or, as always, you can mail in your tithe or your check here to Every Nation New Jersey at our offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Listen, Every Nation, Jesus loves you. He died for you and rose again. And get this, I think you're pretty great too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.